letting people in yet until Katie gets back. There she is.
Thank you.
Help. You're already doing it with those Easter bunny ears on. That's perfect.
Look at all the Easter bonnets.
Easter bonnets.
Yes.
I don't have an Easter bonnet. I just have bunny ears.
Bunny ears are great.
Hey, Maggie.
Katie, you need to make me co-host on this new computer, please.
Okay.
That's why I've not seen anything coming in yet.
What is that? It's awfully serious.
Hi, Susie and Robert.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I tell my mom about the bingo thing, but I have no idea what to do.
Well, don't worry about it. It'll be fun. There'll be lots of cues.
Morning, Jim.
I emailed you about it, but
happy Easter.
I'm the same to you.
Me too.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Del. Hi, Bert.
Good morning. Good morning, Molly.
Happy Easter.
Yes, it is. But I didn't get an Easter basket.
No,
I did.
You might want to look in the chat because there are a couple of special things for you today, especially for the children. There's a children's order of service that has lots of activities, but they really any age might enjoy it.
Morning, Barbara. Good to see you. Trenton gonna come today?
Hey!
Hello, Janet.
Hey, Janet.
Hey, Janet.
Hi,
Carol. Hello.
Yeah. Good morning.
Got a baby.
Happy
change.
Easter.
Yeah, happy Easter.
Hi, Sophia. Hi, Wilder.
Happy Easter.
Morning, Marilyn. Lovely hat.
Jack has a little baby chick. Wonderful. All kinds of hats.
I'm tempted.
Hey, Don and Jim, I like your hats.
We felt left out.
Hey, look for Judith Stone. She has a chick in her window.
I have a chick.
Liza, that is some Easter bunny.
like her crown.
Oh my gosh.
Isa.
Cute.
Heard your text, Judith.
Vera, your ears are great.
I put her right here, Julia.
Elizabeth.
There it is. Oh,
hi, Marcia.
That'd be my first. Wow.
Look at Del's hat.
Del's hat. Hi, Jordan. There you are.
Hi, Charlie.
Hi.
Oh.
Hi.
Hey, Peter.
Good morning.
Good morning, Robert. Felice.
Hey, good morning, Ron and Marilyn.
Good morning.
Hey, Molly H. Molly Hanks. And how about Judy Hayes? What do you think? Judy Hayes. And
thanks,
Subi.
Sarah, you look so good. Are you all good? Nice to see you.
Oh,
good morning.
There's Portia in her hat.
Look at her hat. Oh, yeah.
Hi, Frank. Hi, Jan.
I don't have a hat.
Hey, look at
that. Okay, I'm going to mute everybody so we can get started. All right. I'm going to go ahead and mute everyone. All right. People are still coming in. Let me fix all my windows here. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This month's worship theme is Becoming. The words calling us to worship this morning come from the Reverend Dick Gilbert. Be silent, be still, be serene in this house of the Spirit. Put aside all the noises that annoy, all the sounds that irritate, the cacophony that confounds. Here you are at home.
Leave behind all the frustrations that belittle, the causes that fret, the troubles that torment. Here you can be at rest. Put away all the plans to be made, things to be done, victories to be won. Here you are at peace.
Breathe deeply. Clear the mind of all cluttered thought. Purge the spirit of all unkindness. Rinse the soul clean and pure. Here you are at home.
Sit easy and be at rest. Feel your body recover its resilience, your mind its bearings, your spirit its strength. Once again, we have come home to the source. We feel the collective power of our companions, the warmth of their welcome, the support of their caring.
We who have been wanderers, groping for something, we know not what, are again at home. Here is a place for us.
We are at home in this sanctuary and with these people. We are at home on this globe and with all who dwell upon it. We are at home in this cosmos, our home for all times past and and all times to come.
We are at home here. Come, let us worship together. We acknowledge that the land that we gather on as a congregation, where we live, work, and play, was not freely given to us. We gather on the ancestral lands of the Nuchu or Ute, Apache, Pueblos, Hopi, Zuni, and Diné nations. We recognize the indigenous peoples as original stewards of this land. As these words are spoken and heard, the ties nations have to their ancestral homelands are renewed and reaffirmed. We acknowledge that our use of and benefit from this land came at a dire cost to Native nations and peoples whose land we now inhabit. I am Katie Kandarian Morris. I'm the minister of the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Durango. How wonderful it is to be creating community with you right here in all of these places we are, as we are uniquely situated to offer an open-hearted place to worship, to grow in faith, and to build more justice in our community. As we gather virtually for a while longer, we continue to keep each other safe. It is a balm being together, responding to the world's brokenness with our liberal religious values of love and justice. Unitarian Universalists gather in the spirit of covenant, meaning we need not think alike to love alike. If you are new here, we welcome you, especially if you're new here for today for the very first time. Our communications coordinator, Shannon Beaver, who is part of the worship team, would love to greet you personally. So go ahead and just type something into the chat if you'd like to be added to our e-newsletter list. And please, we'd like to invite everybody to stay after the service for our informal small group virtual fellowship time. You're welcome to stay as brief or as an extensive a time as you like. Today is all community worship, which means our children will be here with us throughout the service. And we have dropped in and will drop in again into the chat an order of service that's especially made for children, but I printed it out and it seems fun to me too. So really, I think this is for anyone who wants to have fun during the service, just adds a little bit more depth to what we're doing. And we will be posting a bingo card for you too. We'll tell you about that in a little bit. Don't worry if you don't know exactly how we're doing it, because we're just not doing that yet. Hang on. Thank you to so much to everyone who's made their annual pledge for next year's budget. We are getting closer to the goal of being able to fund the ministries of our mission. If you still are holding on to a pledge card, make sure that you mail it in as soon as you are able. If you don't have a pledge card and you would like one, please send a message also to Shannon Beaver, just to make it easy for you. She will get the stewardship folk to get you a card. And sincere gratitude to everyone as we continue to strengthen our community. Today is Share the Plate Sunday, in which the entire congregation, or the collection rather, the entire collection that we receive today, outside of anything designated like your pledges, will go to a community organization. We've been dividing our gifts between Fort Lewis College's Grubhub, MANA, and Durango Food Bank. And today we're going to learn a little about the food bank from our UUFD social justice team leader, Bonnie Miller.
Thank you. So our social responsibility and justice team is doing Share the Plate a little differently this year. We used to have one recipient they received for 3 months and then we'd move on to the next one. And as Reverend Katie said, we now have three recipients who each month, starting in January and through September, are receiving their third of our collection. And this was because our social responsibility and justice team saw the extraordinary impact that the pandemic was having on food insecurity needs in our community. So Durango Food Bank, as she mentioned, is one of those three recipients. And Sarah Smith, who's the director, couldn't be here today, but she asked that I give you her greetings and tell you how much the contributions of UUFD make a difference and are appreciated, both our monetary donations and our volunteers who help with food box preparations and delivery every month. The food bank has had a 130% increase in demand for food this year over last, with many families being first-time food bank clients who have just never needed these services before. In 2020, almost 11% of children in La Plata County were food insecure. So Durango Food Bank adjusted its procedures to assure that every person who came to them with the need for food received it. To make this possible, along with needing to purchase additional food, the food bank had to find storage space to rent where they could store, organize, and prepare semis of non-perishable foods. That was an expense that was not anticipated and it was not budgeted for. However, thanks to UUFD, to 100 plus Women Who Care and other groups, the food bank was able to both purchase additional food and obtain a one-year lease of the warehouse adjacent to the food bank, which has been crucially important to their ability to serve the increased numbers of individuals and families in need. Durango Food Bank continues to do extraordinary work, but as they have told us many times, they could not do it without the faithful support of our caring community. Thank you for every donation, no matter how much made, to help our hungry neighbors, and be assured that we are making a difference.
Thank you, Bonnie. Leading our service with me today is our worship team, mixture of staff and lay leaders. Anna Royer is our volunteer worship associate. Sarah Sauter, our interim director of faith formation, will be today's bingo leader. And Shannon Beaver, our staff communications coordinator. Cheryl Guy, our volunteer from our worship team, will serve as a greeter as well as Shannon. James Mirabal is our tech director and Dennis McClure serves as our tech assistants. And worship is vitalized with the gifts of our choir director and music leader, Elizabeth Crawford. Our choir today, the Virtual Tones, the choir accompanist, Jose Duran. We also have contributions from other musicians, Lawrence Nass, Marilyn Garst, and the members of our congregation who bring us our closing hymn. Beginning next week, we are going to be using the closed captioning feature on our Zoom link. We want to give you some instructions first as to how to opt in or out of that. We've been testing it. We think it's going to be good, but we'd like to give you a little bit more time to learn about it. So be paying attention to your e-announcements next week, and then we'll give you some instructions during worship next week. Hopefully that will be a help. We define worship as shaping things of worth. By so doing, we create community, providing opportunities for transformation.
All right, so next up is lighting the chalice, and our chalice lighters this morning are Talise and Iris. You can see them lighting the chalice, and they are using chalices that they made as part of our faith formation program. So a big thank you to Talise and Iris for being here and lighting our chalice. As we speak the words of affirmation this morning together, please remain muted on your end. I will speak aloud and lead the words. We sincerely hope you will speak aloud at your home as well, even though you're muted, so that we can enjoy our affirmation and focus on this congregation together. Love is the doctrine of this church. The quest for truth is its sacrament, and service is its prayer. To dwell together in peace, to seek knowledge in freedom, to serve human need. For these high purposes do we unite in worship.
I invite you right now to go up to the right-hand corner of your screen and set it to gallery view so that you can see all of those present today. Let's today especially welcome anyone who's new here, offering with an attitude of reverence and hospitality a greeting of peace and welcome, such as peace be with you, to all of those who make up our congregation today. Go ahead and unmute yourselves and offer a greeting. I'm so glad that you are all here. How wonderful. All right. We share our joys and sorrows in a ritual of candle lighting in community. Now it's a good time to change your screen back to speaker view, and that way you'll be able to see clearly who is sharing. If you are so moved, I invite you to offer a personal joy or sorrow, and I will light a candle for you. Type your name in the link. Sorry, I'm moving my stuff around here so I get my screen back. Type your name in the chat box, and that way our worship associate will know to call on you. A reminder to keep your sharing brief, just a phrase or two, please. And I'm going to go ahead and begin by lighting a candle of sorrow to symbolize the more than 555,000 souls in the U.S. who have died as a result of COVID. We light this candle. And I have one more that I'm going to begin with. On this date, April 4th, 1968, we remember the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who was assassinated on this day in what was a turbulent and traumatic year in our nation, a time of rising up. The night before he died, he spoke in support of the striking sanitation workers in Memphis, Tennessee. These words ended his speech. Dr. King said, "I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. And I am happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing anyone. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." May we light this candle. Anna?
Elizabeth L., you're first.
Unmuting. So I have joys and concerns. Both are about where we came from. To Durango, the department that I chaired in the graduate program that I started with everyone, we just got ranked and we came in really high. And one of my students just got made Dean of the Social Sciences at Rice. So those are the joys. And the concerns are that two of my very dearest friends from my time there are in hospice now. One with liver cancer, and he's the father of two of our favorite UU friends back in Houston. And the other, my friend Chandler Davidson, who fought in all of his scholarship and activism for equal justice and voting rights, is there with dementia and meningitis. And it makes me very sad.
We light this candle.
Benji and Ellie, you are next.
I didn't say keep some in your thoughts and prayers.
sorrow that our turtle died on Tuesday.
Yeah. His name was Buddy.
His name was Buddy, and he overheated.
I think you were so quiet that we couldn't hear you. Can you say that again?
Our turtle died on Tuesday.
Yeah, he got overheated. His name was Buddy.
We light this candle.
Pat S.
My joy is today. I'm with my family here, and we've all been fully vaccinated. I'm celebrating my 78th birthday, and my concern is a good friend that came here to recover her life is in the hospital.
We light this candle.
And Robert, you're up next.
Actually, two real quick things. One is we're going to be cutting out early because we're going to get our second shot today. And it's her birthday.
So we light this candle.
Dory.
Hey, everybody. A candle of concern for little Jillian, who is the niece of a really good friend of mine who is 8 months old and has something wrong with her heart. So lighting a candle for her, and a joy and concern for my friend Callie, who lost her father. The joy is that we all get to go back and be together, and I'm flying home after my second shot in May. So that'll be exciting to see so many people after such a long time.
We light this candle.
June R.
Good morning. I have a candle of joy that it's spring and it feels like it. And I'm almost at the end of tax season. So I kind of feel like a bear coming out of my cave of hibernation. So it'll be nice to see everybody again.
And if we can get it to work, we'll light this candle. There we go.
And Forrest J.
I would like to light a candle of joy because of my mom's coming out of surgery and being okay and having a speedy recovery.
We light this candle.
Kara?
I have a concern for my mom. She's just ill. And if you could keep her in your thoughts, that would be awesome.
And we light this candle.
And Talise and Iris.
I have a joy that we just got a new puppy.
And then Talise has a sorrow that she just wanted to remember all of her family members that have passed on, even though there's nobody recently who has passed on.
We light this candle.
And then I believe, excuse me, the Myers family will be last. If I've missed your name or if you want to jump in quick here at the end, please type into the chat box. Myers family.
I have a joy that I had the opportunity to volunteer at a vaccine clinic yesterday at the fairgrounds, and it brought me an immense amount of optimism for our community. And what's your joy, buddy?
I lost my, I think, fourth tooth.
We light this candle.
And Katie, we have one more. Sophia?
I have a joy that...
We can't hear you.
Oh. I have a joy that a lot of people are getting vaccinated now and that stuff is starting to return to normal.
We light this candle. And finally, we will light one more candle symbolizing all of the joys and sorrows that are silent prayers that we hold in our hearts. May we hold close all of these appeals. Let's continue now with the same spirit and move into a time of prayer and meditation. The words today come from my colleague, the Reverend Sarah Stewart. Love who lives and breathes in us, we sing to you with thanks and praise. Pour over us like a cleansing water. Rise in us like the green thing growing. Move our feet to walk in newness of life. We do not ask to forget our despair and failures, but to know through our pain no less than through our joy, your love and presence for all people. Unite us in our humanity and fill us with the promise of resurrection. Give us a useful and holy hope as we turn our faces toward your reign, which is within us and among us on earth as it is in heaven. May we sit in the silence without words for just a moment. Blessed be. Amen. Amen. Ashe.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and happy Easter. So, why do we hide eggs at Easter? In some pre-Christian pagan societies, eggs were a symbol of spring and new life, kind of like this dinosaur being born out of this egg. Kind of creepy, huh? And in the medieval period, that's about 700 years ago, eating eggs was forbidden. You couldn't do it during Lent, the 40-day period before Easter. So on Easter Sunday, that ended with feasting and fun, and eggs were considered an important part of these celebrations. The Easter egg hunt started about 400 years ago by the, surprisingly, former Martin Luther, the reformer Martin Luther, who organized egg hunts in his congregation for the children to find. So what would Easter be without an egg hunt? Not very fun. Just like last year, we're not allowing the pandemic to steal our Easter fun. Nope. We are having an Easter hunt this morning that's just a little bit different from those in the past. We've changed our plan to include hunting for eggs as and other Easter-themed items, and then creating a bingo card. So you can hunt for these things, and when you get four in a row, you can say bingo. Parents, this is the time to pull out those Easter prizes we sent to you earlier in the week. If you're joining us for the first time today, there are extra bingo prizes in a blue box on the second floor porch of Bowman Hall at the congregation. Volunteers, this is the time to get your items ready to put on display. I'll give you a countdown in just a moment to put them on the display in your screen. Make sure they can be seen on your shoulder is not a bad idea, or on your head. Kids, or anyone really, who wants to join in and needs a bingo card can click on the link in the chat. So kids, go ahead and unmute now. That will allow all of us to hear you shout bingo when you have one. And remember, you have several screens to scroll through to find the eggs, the hats, the flowers, the carrots, and more. So kids, if you're unmuted, say check.
Check. Check.
All right. Everyone got your screens on gallery view? If you do have your screens on gallery view, give me a thumbs up.
And look at this. Just a second.
Kids and others playing our game, if you're ready, say check.
Check.
All right. Volunteers, after my countdown, put your item on the screen.
Yes.
3, 2, 1. Go! Find those bingos. Use your cards. Find those green eggs. Find those pink eggs. Find those eggs. When you find them, scroll on the screen.
Who is that?
Did you find a green egg? I see an Easter bunny.
Right there on her shoulder. That's
golden. Web, keep going. Did anybody get a bingo yet? No. Adults, you can play too.
Oh, we have to.
I don't get this, Mom.
Just find the items on your bingo card, and when you find four in a row, no, yell bingo.
Row.
Green egg.
Bingo.
Oh, I see a carrot. I see a carrot. Who sees that? When there's lots of Easter bonnets.
I don't get
bingo.
Bonnet.
Bingo.
Anymore? Benji, did you find a bingo? Go ahead and unmute. Tell us.
What about a pink shirt? You got a pink shirt?
Dykes, did you get a bingo? Bingo! Good job.
I nailed it out to me.
Volunteers and everyone. That was awesome.
Bingo! Bingo!
Four bingos! Bingo! Thanks for helping and thanks for playing. Kids, go ahead and mute again. This is an all community service and you'll be staying with us.
Bingo!
You won't be moved.
Bingo.
Sarah, you're muted.
So grab your order of service. You'll be staying with us and not going to classes this morning. So Elizabeth is about to play an instrument that's been around for a long time, and there are fun facts in your kid's order of service about that instrument. And there's a word search for Reverend Katie's homily in several fill in the blanks and coloring items. So enjoy.
All right. I'm thinking of the times that we have sung Dayenu all together, and the flute sounds better than any time I've heard us sing. I also want to say how much fun it is to have this children's order of service, which I think really is a great all ages activity. So especially during the homily, here's your word search. And you might find that helpful. Well, I also hope that you were able to experience the play that we had last weekend, our UUFD children's play that was written by Sarah Sauter as a culminating experience of our elementary kids who had just completed the curriculum on anti-racism. Our children were really impressive. I heard that shared over and over again, with acting skills and subject comprehension beyond their young years. It's amazing that these kids were ranging from ages just 8 to 12 years old, all of our UU kids. I love what theater can do for us, not just the actors, the directors, and the tech folk, but for all of us. We who are the audience, and even more so in worship, we call the gathered the congregation. We don't turn down the lights. The congregation is an essential part of the experience of the whole. In worship, the term liturgy names the work of the people, meaning it's a reciprocal activity. In theater, the concept for our role is the willing suspension of disbelief, which is our agreement to enter into the intentional avoidance of critical thinking. We'll agree to the premise that these people in front of us are bringing us into a different reality, a way to experience enjoyment and a sense of catharsis. Together, we make up the adventure. As a gathered member of the congregation, we enter into this as a covenantal agreement. Well, I'm not suggesting that we do exactly the suspend our disbelief for our tradition. After all, our faith hails reason as an important component of liberal religion. Yet at the same time, it recognizes direct experience of that transcending mystery and wonder. Maybe just for one day, a day when in this pluralistic faith tradition, we've gathered all together as Christians, as people of the Jewish tradition, as pagans, as Buddhist practitioners, as people who know themselves as humanist or simply atheists. We may be natural theists or spiritual agnostics. Could it be that on this day, we are also people who merely love a good celebration, people who love a great community? Maybe this is the holiday to hold all of those contradictions. One of the things I love most about Unitarian Universalism is that we can move around from day to day, finding meaning in one way of understanding our theological house. And another day, we take wisdom from another room or open the doors for more than one at a time. Today, we can appreciate the many symbols of the season, some of those that we saw in our bingo squares, like the bonnets and the bunnies and the new grass of Easter, remembering the bitter herbs of Passover, the powdered paint colors exploding in the Hindu festival of Holi. Jewish poet Marge Piercy reminds us that it is the season of the egg, the eggs of the spring equinox, Oestra, Ostara, the roasted eggs of Passover, the dyed eggs of Easter. All the symbols that can serve as metaphors, revering either a literal holiday or a mystical one, depending on how you choose to create meaning. French philosopher Paul Ricoeur invites us into developing a new appreciation of symbol and myth through the blending of ancient and contemporary worlds of meanings. The second naivete. It is a slow transformation that I would describe as spiritual, where I move from a literal understanding of stories and religious myths to a place where I'm able to receive the gift of the ability to experience awe. At some point, it might require a kind of suspension of disbelief. I find that gift comes to me, especially at the various religious holidays, particularly the ones where some sort of magic is present. Spring is both mud and miracle, with a slushy snow that by the afternoon has suddenly turned the grass green, or the crocus that has forced up whole piles of composted, compacted soil as if they were tectonic plates. How do I imagine the miracle of today? Through a second naivete, I can find a place to believe in a kind of spiritual resurrection, the gift of awe. Spiritual writer Richard Rohr calls his own understanding of this a paradox. He describes himself as being both very traditional and very progressive, the both and. Rohr explains, this blessed simplicity is calm, knowing, patient, inclusive, and self-forgetful. It helps us, he says, move beyond anger, alienation, and ignorance. He concludes, I believe this is the very goal of mature adulthood and mature religion. Could it be that we suspend disbelief not in accepting the supernatural, but through appreciating the mysteries, understanding truth as something that can't be articulated through any particular faith statement? As we begin to get comfortable with the conflicts of our faith understandings, we're able to live and participate in a pluralistic religious tradition like ours. Might it be that we all begin in naivete and eventually return to a second naivete? We are people of becoming, sometimes letting go of one thing before we can take on another. As it is declared in this month's Soul Matters small group introduction, if we are going to complete our journeys of unbecoming and becoming anew, we're definitely going to need pit stops of kindness and tenderness along the way. Let's take a minute or two to share with each other. In the chat, would you contribute a phrase or two? Where do you experience awe? How do you describe it when you feel it? I'm going to give you a few minutes right now to think about that and to offer that and to read what others have shared. I hope you had a chance to read what people have posted in the chat. I think it's sometimes the combination of those things that provides me with awe. I also like the mixture of ages sharing, because you can see that it's Bach and it's Waterworld, both of those things together. The mystic Thomas Merton suggests we embody that awe, that we embody that awe, that delightful sense of wonder that comes with this day of light and gladness. He says we are invited to forget ourselves on purpose, cast our awful solemnity to the winds, and join in the general dance. I invite you to find the miraculous, the mystical, the magical, the beauty in the ancient stories of Passover and Easter, and especially in the ordinary glory of nature's unfolding. As humanists, we can dwell next to Christians who find meaning in the risen Christ. As theists, we can delight in chocolate bunnies that bring a smile to children and adults alike by imagining the indwelling God. As enlightened spiritual beings, we might find the both and in the hymn that sings either, "Lo, the earth awakes again," or "Jesus Christ is risen today." May Easter Sunday be a day to praise the willing suspension of disbelief, experience our own second naivete, becoming people of a beautiful, nuanced unfolding of truths that are as complex as are our lives, as flowing as the river, as appreciative of each other, as is the green thing growing. Hallelujah. So until we are together again, know that I love you. Amen. Amen. Ashe. Blessed be.
As we gather virtually for worship on these Sundays during the pandemic, we have three different ways to make an offering, and details on each can be found in the chat box. You can always send a check to the church office. You could go to the website and make a donation there, or you could text your contribution as well. Please remember that today is Share the Plate Sunday. We hope you will give generously to strengthen food security in our community. On Share the Plate Sunday, all of the contributions, unless designated otherwise, go to our Share the Plate recipient. And as we give this morning, let us reflect on these words from our hymnal by an anonymous author. May we be reminded here of our highest aspirations and inspired to bring our gifts of love and service to the altar of humanity. May we know once again that we are not isolated beings, but connected in mystery and miracle to the universe, to this community, and to each other.
Our closing song today, O Day of Light and Gladness, is a familiar Easter tune. Many Christians know it as the Day of Resurrection. This UU version of the hymn was written by Unitarian minister Frederick Hosmer in the late 19th century, and it's one of eight favorite UU hymns written by Hosmer. Please join Stephen Bowers and Lisa Gauffreau as they lead our singing, accompanied by Marilyn Garst.
And we're going to extinguish our chalice. And Talise and Iris, are you ready to go with your chalice? There you are. Okay, can you carefully extinguish it now? Blow a little bit harder, not too hard. A little bit. Yes. I'm going to use my little snuffer. Thank you so much. So great to have you today. And finally, the words that send us on our way. As you go, may you take this happy day as an omen of future becoming. May it be an opportunity to step willingly into suspension of all you have held at bay. Make it a second naivete a second chance at innocence and beauty. The world is still resurrecting itself for your delight. May it be so. Amen. And please stay and join us. We'll have some wonderful music. Put your screens on gallery view so that you can view everyone's Easter bonnet. And we'll sing you out and break out into our small groups. Happy Easter. Well, it looks like we have lost our sound for that. We've been having a couple little technical difficulties. I hope you enjoyed it, and please join us in the breakout rooms. I can come in and combine some too if you want to say hello to some more folks. Bye, everybody.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter. Happy Passover.